Good morning, 127th Wing and Team Selfridge. I am Technical Sergeant Drew Schumann, and this is the Road to Drill podcast. Coming up today, we are going to hear from Ms. Alicia Campbell, the new Sexual Assault Response Coordinator, to hear about some changes to the program. And in just a few moments, Tech Sergeant Fitzpatrick will be in to discuss the happenings around base this drill weekend. Right now, though, as you can see, winter weather has affected our area overnight, causing numerous road hazards and slowing down our commutes. If you're listening to this as you're getting ready to head out, please remember to get an early start. And once you're on the road, or if you're on the road right now, use extreme caution as you drive. Crews at Selfridge have been working hard to get the roads, parking lots, and sidewalks clear for our members, so allowing for that extra time will be very important. And if you run into any issues, remember to keep your chain of command informed. Please be safe out there. First this morning, despite the weather, it is March, which means it is Women's History Month. Each March, the Department of Defense pays tribute to the women who, through their determination and contributions, have shaped America's history and whose efforts continue to pave the way forward. Women's History Month originated in 1981 when Congress passed Public Law 9728, which authorized and requested the President to proclaim the week beginning of March 7, 1982, as Women's History Week. After being petitioned by the National Women's History Project, Congress passed Public Law 100-9, which designated the month of March 1987 as Women's History Month. This year's theme is Celebrating Women Who Tell Our Stories. Through the earliest storytellers, through our pioneering journalists, our experiences have captured a wide variety of artists and teachers. These include authors, songwriters, scholars, playwrights, performers, and grandmothers throughout time. Women have long been instrumental in passing on heritage in word and print to communicate the lessons of those who came before them. Women's stories and the larger human story expand our understanding and strengthen our connections to each other. Generations of women have broken down barriers, shattered stereotypes, and changed our society. During Women's History Month, we honor the women who continue to tell the story. Now it is that time to bring in my partner, Technical Sergeant Fitzpatrick.
Happy March.
Happy March. Welcome. It is it's Women's History Month.
It is Women's History Month.
Fantastic recognition. And it is also the month of daylight savings time.
Yay.
Daylight savings time is coming up in a couple weeks.
I cannot wait for the weather to start being nicer.
Nor can I. This is this hasn't been as cold of a winter as the past few have been, but it's been as depressing as all the other ones, if not worse.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree.
It's been very gray.
Especially since I spent all last winter in the desert, and it was absolutely gorgeous.
You had a lot of sun last winter,
yeah,
didn't you?
It was gorgeous.
Well, we're going to talk about that, actually, in a little bit, because getting into this fiscal year's TDY season, a lot of people are going a lot of places. So one of the things we wanted to touch on this month is just some of the preparatory actions for members to take prior to leaving, you know, getting into the AOR, your TDY location. Sergeant Fitzpatrick and I have been several places over the past several months and years. So,
Are you calling me old?
Old?
Are you saying I'm old?
I'm saying you're well-traveled. How's that?
Well, you're just old.
I'll take old. St. Patrick's Day is coming up. And later on this month, on the 22nd, Ramadan starts. So festive month of activities here
absolutely.
In March.
And we're also going to honor some chief promotions this drill weekend. Senior Master Sergeant Dawn Porter with the FSS is going to be promoted on Sunday.
She's becoming a chief?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Senior Porter.
Congrats.
Chief Select Porter. That's awesome.
Right. And Senior Master Sergeant Lyle Black with the Fire Department is also being promoted to chief on Saturday afternoon.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well deserved. Two great senior enlisted leaders who are taking it to the next level.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to their further leadership.
Yeah.
That's great.
Congratulations. And speaking of congratulations and fire department, shout out to the best medium-sized base fire department in the entire Air Force, Selfridge Fire Department.
The entire Air Force.
As part of the 127th Civil Engineer Squadron, they won the Chief Master Sergeant Ralph E. Sanborn Award in the 2022 Civil Engineer Fire and Emergency Services category.
That's awesome. That's great. Have you been over there recently? That firehouse is immaculate, and the stuff they do is amazing. In the RSD video this month, we actually had the general over there, and he listed off some of the facts, and they responded to nearly 70 off-base calls in the past year.
Isn't that crazy?
2022.
I didn't know.
That's community involvement at its finest, really.
Absolutely.
Going off base to save lives. So,
right?
Yeah, just a fantastic group of airmen over there at the firehouse.
Absolutely.
And well-deserved.
Here's a fun fact. The Air National Guard has only won this award on one other occasion, and that was in 2005.
Really?
When our guys won it the last time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we have a storied history.
Absolutely.
Of running the table.
Right.
The Air National Guard Firehouse Award. So great.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Firehouse. That's great. The CE Fire Department, they get to do a lot also. They're another one of those work sections that they go downrange a lot. They are in the AOR. They're with our state partners in Latvia often. Yeah, they're everywhere, the firehouse.
They're
part of the ACE missions.
They stand by during the ICTs. We saw them managing an environmental event at the last highway landing.
That's right. So
good job, guys.
Good job, Fire Department. Also this weekend, this is the last weekend to get signed up for the Michigan National Guard Joint Professional Development Seminar up at the Alpena Combat Readiness Training Center. That's taking place from the 19th to the 22nd. So check with your supervisor and your leadership and get signed up this weekend if you can.
Mm-hmm. And you can sign up through the Wing app. If you go to events and you go to April 19th, there's a link to the sign up page there.
One thing I know a lot of units are going to be focusing on, as we mentioned earlier, going into TDY season, is taking care of your own personal readiness and making sure you are fit to fight and fit to deploy and to get on that plane. So
there are personal things that you have to prepare for. And that's one thing that I didn't consider. Mm-hmm. When I came back from my deployment last year, I was thinking, oh, TDYs will be a breeze now.
Right.
But in planning for Air Defender, we know now that we're going to be gone several weeks overseas. So who's going to take care of my cat?
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. Who's going to take care of my job?
Right.
Maybe it's not easy to step away from your career for more than 2 weeks. Well, that's happening. So if this season, this is your first time headed out the door, you know, heed the advice of your supervisors and your mentors and peers and, you know, start getting ready now. So you might want to, you know, start looking for a cat sitter probably now, right?
I know, right? Yeah. I wonder what my mom's doing in June. If you're a single parent also, you need to have a family care plan in place so that you know what is going on with your kids while you're overseas.
How is that normally accomplished?
Yeah, good point. Contact your first sergeant. They can help you get your family care plan in place, and it's not just single parents, it's for dual military as well.
Okay.
That's just telling the military what's going to happen with your kids while you're on your deployment or long-term TDY.
For sure.
And if you're like me and you hadn't gotten your flu shot until, I don't know, early 2023, definitely contact medical.
Even if flu season's over, just get the shot.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
One of the best things about TDY season is getting to see everybody doing their jobs and do all the cool stuff.
Absolutely.
In person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of times you'll see something going on the flight line, or security forces will be running around doing stuff, or firefighters, as we've already mentioned, setting up the tents and medical and everything. And the urge is to get out your phone and take a photo and share it with people, right?
Yeah, because we, out of all of our friends, we have the coolest jobs.
Right? So that's our job, that's our thing, but we're not alone. Everybody's like that now.
Of course.
There's actually a sign at the entry of the base that says, for photo and video authorization on base, you have to contact public affairs.
Right.
And I swear I see it every day, but I don't actually ever see it.
Right, just because it's one of those things that mixes into the background, like, welcome to Selfridge, wear your seatbelt.
Right, turn off your headlights.
Turn off your headlights.
But yeah, that's one of our many functions, is that we are the OPSEC release authority for everything that goes off base, media-wise.
Which includes social media.
Which includes social media, which includes your work center, imagery of your work center that you're taking and you're sharing on your private, what you think is private accounts,
yes,
that is subject to AppSec review. So this is just a friendly reminder to anybody not to take photography or video on the flight line or anywhere on base.
Right.
If you don't have public affairs approval, especially on the flight line, because you'll get tackled by security forces,
right,
if they don't know why you're there, right?
Short story, in 2016, I got to go to Israel with my former unit, and it was my first time ever flying in a KC-135. This is before I knew I was going to be at a unit with KC-135,
right.
So I was enamored to get to sit in the cockpit, and you know, I was PA riding along with them, so I got to sit up front while we took off and landed, and it was just great. So the first thing I did was snap a selfie of me in the cockpit of the KC-135, and I gave it a little once-over, and it was good to go. I'm like, this is good to share, so I went ahead and shared the photo, and then as soon as I landed at the airport, I had a message from a friend of mine back at my former unit that goes, hey, you might want to turn off your geotagging, enjoy Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, or something like that. I'm like, oh my God. So I went ahead and took care of that and sort of cleaned the egg off my face and learned a lesson that, you know, even if we are looking out for OPSEC items, technology is one step ahead of us.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that person. So
right. That's a great point. Even in our job, when we go to cover something, mm-hmm, we don't know everything there is to know about what is a violation, what isn't.
Right.
So we have to ask the subject matter experts on site,
absolutely,
is this OPSEC, is this not? And based on that, we compile our information database, and we use that to determine, you know, if something is clean to go out.
The first thing we typically do when we walk in, say, into a hangar where there's maintenance occurring, we talk to the NCOIC there's, is this okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we're not allowed to photograph?
Because
mm-hmm, even if we photograph that jet 100 times before that, that's the one day there'll be a panel open that we've never photographed before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so always good to ask.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you have any imagery that you want to share on your social media that you've taken on base, we can make it really easy for you. If you have any imagery of anything on base that you want cleared by public affairs, please send it to us at the 127th Wing on Facebook or Instagram, and we can just take a look at it there.
And make sure you include information with that. What it is you're doing, of course, your information. And
we will give you photo credit or video credit.
We'll certainly give you photo credit for that. For
maybe
sure.
You could teach us something about making a reel. Or,
as mentioned during our introduction, that this month is St. Patrick's Day. Well, our 127th Force Support Squadron, mm-hmm, over at the DFAC, they're going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day with us on Saturday. Like, we do a Thanksgiving meal and a Valentine's meal?
No, we don't do a Valentine's meal.
Do we do? Is it just a... We're going to be having a St. Patrick's Day meal.
Ooh.
During lunch. Yes. So, thank you for the backup there. On Saturday from 11 to 12:30, we're going to have simmered corned beef, roast turkey, baked macaroni and cheese, parsley buttered potatoes, sauteed cabbage, of course, mixed veggies, gravy to go with that turkey, dinner rolls, Lucky Charm cookies, and shamrock pudding. And of course, as always, the salad and short order bar. So
what do you think the shamrock pudding is made out of?
Shamrock pudding. So looking at the picture, it's not pictured. I'm sorry. It's Lucky Charms cookies. Oh, that looks amazing.
Ooh.
Shamrock pudding. I don't know. It'll probably be green.
Yeah, it'll probably just be
like the shamrock shake.
Pistachio pudding.
Oh, I hope not. I hope there's a warning on that. So one final thing before we head out, our friend and work neighbor, Megan Deneen, not Baker, recently became a star. She starred on the Meat Eater podcast,
yeah,
which if you're unfamiliar with this, it's a very popular podcast, hunting, fishing, conservation, and outdoor culinary. She got to guest star on the show.
That's awesome.
To talk about what it is she does. You don't know who Ms. Deneen is. She's a wildlife biologist. She's our wildlife biologist, mm-hmm, here at Selfridge Air National Guard Base. So to help prevent bird strikes and working right next to a major waterway,
mm-hmm,
we get a lot of wildlife out here. A lot, mm-hmm, of people don't realize that.
So she actually works for the BASH program.
Right.
And if anybody's unfamiliar with that, that stands for Bird Wildlife Aircraft Strike Hazard.
There you go.
So she helps to ensure that wildlife are not interfering with the aircraft.
Highly important gig to have out here. If you get a chance, take a listen to that. I just listened to it this morning and it was really good. You'll get to learn what Snarge is.
Ooh.
That's actually the name of the podcast episode is Snarge.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's really cool.
Fantastic job, Megan Deneen.
Yeah, congrats.
That's all I got, I think.
Yeah.
Right now. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, that's all I have. I hope you have an amazing drill.
Oh, you have an amazing drill too. And
thanks.
All of you have an amazing drill.
Yeah. Work hard.
Go ahead and stay tuned for Around the Air Force. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye.
Service members and their dependents have greater coverage under new amendments to the Service Member Civil Relief Act. The Act provides a shield against negative impacts to financial affairs due to service obligations. Three significant changes cover contract terminations, taxes, and professional licenses. Contract terminations now include gym memberships, fitness programs, and home security services. That protection also extends to dependents during relocation. Service members now have more flexibility in choosing their domicile for tax purposes. They can select their residence, their spouse's residence, or their permanent duty station. Finally, members and spouses who are relocating now have the ability to transfer an active professional license to a new jurisdiction. Undersecretary of the Air Force Gina Ortiz-Jones will step down effective March 6th. Secretary of the Air Force Frank Kendall says Jones's leadership improved the readiness of the Air and Space Force for years to come by enabling airmen, guardians, and their families to perform at their highest levels. When Jones leaves, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller, Kristen Jones, will perform the duties of Undersecretary of the Air Force. Secretary Kendall says she'll keep the momentum going. The 2023 Vice Chiefs Challenge is underway. Airmen can submit their ideas for innovative solutions to challenges affecting Agile Combat Employment, or ACE. The ACE concept increases survivability while generating combat power in geographically dispersed locations. General David Alvin, Air Force Vice Chief of Staff, appealed directly to airmen to submit their ideas in a promotional video.
You are the critical advantage. You have the ideas and the ingenuity required to help us accelerate and fly, fight, and win.
That's your look around the Air Force. I'm Technical Sergeant Britt Crowley.
With us right now is Ms. Jaleesa Campbell, the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator for the 127th Wing. Mm-hmm. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Just wanted to say, too, thanks again for having me back so I can talk more about the program and some of the things going on. As you stated, yes, my name is Jaleesa Campbell. I have been out here at Selfridge for about 20 years now in different capacities militarily. So honored still to have been chosen as the newest Wing SARC. Having a great time in the program, getting out and seeing everybody. So it's been a nice experience. So I appreciate that opportunity. A little bit about the program, because I know as we talked, not everybody knows what the SAPR program is.
Ma'am.
So I appreciate the time to go over that. The SAPR program is here to support military members, their dependents, and we work with members across all the branches. We have contacts across the branches, so if anybody needs to come and see me here at Selfridge that maybe belongs to the Army or belongs to the Coast Guard, we have those connections to make sure the service members get taken care of. So, and then we have some of the different reporting options depending on how a victim feels and how they want to proceed forward, or if they're looking for referrals for support. We can, of course, go the restricted route or the unrestricted route in which we would then get law enforcement involved. So, so it's an ever-growing program, which is why I was happy to be on again so we could talk a little bit more about that.
No, excellent. Thank you. Would you mind explaining what are the array of circumstances that someone could reach out?
So one of the new additions that we have in the SAPR office is the addition of offering advocacy service to sexual harassment victims. So as you stated, sexual assault revolves around the concept of being physically touched or you being forced to touch someone else in certain areas on your body. Sexual harassment, however, does not have to involve any type of touching. And that can be something that we see commonly in the workplace before we see things escalate to a sexual assault type of situation. So, you know, inappropriate comments, inappropriate actions, just the general, can I say cringy factor?
Absolutely.
That some people seem to bring to the workplace. Those types of things would be our sexual harassment, to include stalking as well. So, as I stated, we've now been allowed to, per the DOD and NGB, we've now been allowed to offer official advocacy services to sexual harassment victims. Previously, people would come in and speak with us confidentially, one-on-one. And of course, because I'm not going to leave anybody hanging on needing support, they would get those referral services anyways, right?
Sure.
That's why I'm here. I care about everybody. I want to make sure everybody's, taken care of. But now it is an official reporting option. Now,
excellent.
The thing to remember with it, though, is that sexual harassment still falls underneath our Equal Opportunity Office. So if someone comes into the office and they want to actually file a claim, they still have to go to Equal Opportunity, an office that we have a really great working relationship with. So as far as a victim advocate and a SARC, I can definitely go with someone and support them in that process as well. So
excellent. Now, is that a change that's taken place in recent years because of new awareness to this issue, or is it?
No, great question. When we look at the continuum of violence and mm-hmm. the continuum of sexual harassment and sexual assault, which we've seen, you know, for years out here by our various briefers and that type of thing, we know that typically when a work environment or any environment condones sexual harassment, that's also going to be an environment that will later on possibly condone sexual assault.
Absolutely.
So we're trying to, you know, get it at the beginning. In addition to that, we want people to enjoy coming to work.
Right.
You know, if you're coming to work and you feel like the environment is a harassing, toxic environment, then, you know, nobody's going to want to come to work. And that's something that we're trying to get away from, right? It distracts from our mission. You know, if anything, it distracts from our mission. So, but it did become official policy 1 December 2022. So, in addition to that, another point that came out was the directive of the No Wrong Door policy. So, the DOD, through years of, like you've already stated, years of, you know, seeing things happen and trying to prevent these things, the DOD has put this directive in place that there is a select group of offices which would make up your SAPR office, your chaplains, your EO office, Equal Opportunity. That directive dictates that they must perform a warm handoff for victims. So what that means for anybody that needs to speak to someone is that if you come to me and you're having suicidal thoughts, I have a warm handoff policy and directive that says that I can take you over to DPH and we can get you the support that you need. Same thing with EO. If you go into EO and what you're describing is a sexual assault where you need victim advocacy services, they would perform a warm handoff to our office, the SAPR office, and we would be able to get victims the referrals that they need.
A continuity that everybody is receiving the proper care.
Now, I will say this. Selfridge has already been doing that. So we all work together very, very well. We all have a lot of respect for each other and what the different offices do. So we've been fortunate, at least from my point of view, working in SAPR, I've been very supported by all these offices. So we've already been doing that. But now the Department of Defense has put something out official for it.
Excellent. So in addition to the new mandates, we also have a staffing addition to the SAPR office. Would you mind introducing that as well?
Of course. So yes, you're correct. This is a new addition to the SAPR program based off of some recommendations that also recommended the new directives and the new sexual harassment advocacy services. The Independent Review Council that was put in place by Congress determined that we needed more full-time staff in order to support victims' needs and program needs, right, for prevention and training and outreach and that type of thing. So, this year, this fiscal year, Selfridge was given a full-time victim advocate that we have just recently hired, and she started this past Monday.
So, excellent.
Yep, her name is Sheila Leip. Some will probably remember her as Master Sergeant Sheila Leip.
Yes.
Having been out here for a number of years and support positions for our members out here. Now she's here fulfilling another support position for us. So she
That's
brings
excellent.
With her, yeah, It's really been a blessing. She brings in a lot of experience working with different types of victims, different types of situations from her social work background. And as the program grows and starts to support domestic violence victims, work center violence victims, she's already somebody in place for us to use as a great referral service. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, welcome back, Master Sergeant Retired Life.
Right.
That's excellent.
Yes.
Well, excellent. Well, we really appreciate the updates, ma'am. Thank you. And if anybody needs to reach out, how can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of us. We are in the office over in the Airman Wellness Center on the flight line side of the building. I have my own separate entrance there. Or they can always contact me via the hotline number, which is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That number is 586-854-0617. And of course, I'm in the global as well. So
and the Wing app as well, right?
And the Wing app as
Excellent.
Well. Yeah, yeah, I'm all over the place. So
awesome.
Please reach out if you need assistance.
Awesome. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And that about wraps it up for this episode of The Road to Drill. Again, please drive safe and take your time getting in this morning. Even though the snow has ceased, there are still many roads that have yet to see a plow. But the forecast for later today calls for it to be 42 degrees and sunny, so in other words, just another day in the mitten. For the 127th Public Affairs Office, I am Tech Sergeant Drew Schumann. Have a great drill and take care of one another.